Yes.
What chapter?
The center.
Chapter 2.
Now, the next question is that the Mayavadi philosophers, they say that because I am now covered in ignorance, therefore I see individuals.
Yes.
My, this individual experience that you are Mr. Such and Such, you are Mr. Such and Such, you are Mrs. Such and Such, this individual experience is due to my ignorance. Generally, they give the example of a disease, I think it is called medical terms myopia. Myopia means they see this moon in two. The eyes become so defective that whenever they see things, they see two. Yes.
Myopia is when you have to see very near.
It may not be myopia, but some disease.
Somebody sees.
Yes, some yes.
Into. Sickness?
Yes, the sickness.
The eyes.
Because the thing is one, but due to my disease of the eye, I see one thing, two. There is a disease. There is a disease like that.
Usually people
would drink. That's an abnormal condition.
Yes.
In abnormal condition, sometimes we can see one thing into two, divided into
yes.
two.
That's
another thing. So now, that ignorance, you cannot apply to Krishna. Because he is all perfect. And if he is not all perfect, then there is no value of his instruction. A man with defect and knowledge cannot impart an instruction. His instruction, therefore, the whole Vedic process is parampara system. Parampara system means that I cannot deviate, I cannot make any interpretation. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasayo vidu. You will find in the fourth chapter, now you are reading second chapter, you will find, as we have explained in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, that because, just like I am speaking to you, I am an imperfect person. I cannot give you any knowledge. I cannot manufacture any knowledge. If I do that, then I shall deceive you. I can simply present before you the original knowledge, I can explain it in an understandable way, but not deviating from the original text. Now, here it is clearly stated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead that natu eva ahanga jatu. Ahang. Ahang means Sri Krishna himself. Now sometimes we make some grammatical jugglery of words, but I cannot understand. Now ahang, myself, when I speak, ahang or myself is applicable to me. When you speak,
yes.
The ahang is applicable to you. But that does not mean because there is a common understanding of myself between you and me, therefore I, not that I and you become one. When you speak, you say, I speak. When I say, I speak. That does not mean this I and that I becomes one. But Sri Krishna says like that, natu aham. He, that means this aham Sri Krishna, and not tvam and you, that means Arjuna, and na ime janadhipa, neither all these kings. That he is dividing the whole audience into three: myself, yourself, and they. And again he confronts his survey, all. He never identifies into what. So this is the version of Sri Krishna. Now if I say that our interpretation of aham, I, myself, yourself, and he or she, a different vision, this is due to our ignorance. You can say, because I am ignorant, it may be my mistake that I see differently from you. But Sri Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna cannot see like that. He is above all this ignorance, because he is all perfect. And we have already defined that the Supreme Lord is full of knowledge. So, he is full of knowledge, supreme knowledge. Now, if the Supreme Personality with full knowledge, he cannot commit any mistake.
No.
How can he commit any mistake? Then there is no meaning of full knowledge. If you are in full knowledge, then how you can commit mistake? So this ignorance of duality, because they say that we see two, because it is due to our ignorance. Everything is one. But here, you cannot apply that ignorance to Sri Krishna. Otherwise, his instruction of whole Bhagavad Gita, which is so importantly taken by all authorities, all scholars, then it is at once rejected. If it is supposed that Sri Krishna was also to commit mistake, or he was in imperfect knowledge, then whole thing becomes rejected. So it is not like that. So Sri Krishna, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is in full knowledge, and therefore, as he says, that either myself or yourself or all these persons, kings and soldiers who are assembled here, they are all individuals. In the past they are individuals, in the present we are individuals, and in the future they will continue to be individuals. Now, one thing, suppose another argument is that due to ignorance, just like an animal, it thinks that there is water in the desert, and they reflect water in the desert. Now, in the desert, due to sun's reflection, you might have experience in the street also during blazing sun, it appears like water. Now, that animal, because it has no knowledge, it is, flying towards water in the desert, although there is no water. But a sane man like you and me, or a human being, he knows that there is no water. there is no water. So this direction, that there is water, this mistake is committed by the animal because it has no sufficient knowledge. But one, a human being who has got sufficient knowledge, he does not commit that mistake. Yes.
Now an animal make
that
mistake?
Huh?
I thought the animal would not see the water that our eyes tell us that there is a mirage in the desert.
Yes. Any sane man who has got the knowledge that this is only reflection of the sun, it is not water, he will never go there. He knows that it is useless to search water in the desert. Similarly, if Sri Krishna is in full knowledge, he cannot say that in future also we shall all remain individual. He says that in the future also we shall continue to be individual. Now, he cannot give that misdirection. Suppose in the future we shall not remain, after liberation we shall not remain individuals, then that sort of misguidance cannot be given by Sri Krishna. Just like a sane man cannot direct you, just go there is water in the desert. A man with perfect knowledge cannot give you that direction. An animal may go there, but that is a different thing. Similarly, when Sri Krishna says that in future also, we all these, yourself, myself and all these, they will keep their individuality. So that is not a misdirection. You want to say anything?
Sure,
yes.
But is that what the Bhagavad Gita saying?
Yes.
Adding a lot to it?
Yes. Yes, it is. It is. I'll give you the exact meaning. Na tu eva aham. Neither myself. Aham means myself. Jatu. Jatu means at any time. At any time means present, past, future. Jatu. Kadachit. Kadachit means at any time. Natam. Not that we did not exist. So, not one. So this aham, myself and yourself, na ime, neither these, janadipa, all these kings, that is plural. Myself, first person, yourself, second person, and this janadipa, third person. Na chaiva na bhavishyama. It is not that. That in future also we shall not exist like this, myself, yourself and all this. Is it? Survey. Now here it is called survey. They never become one. Survey. Survey means all. Plural number. Here is Janadipa. As they are now plural numbers, myself, yourself and they. Similarly, in future also we shall remain like that. We shall remain like that. Sarve, bhayamatapparam, after this. This is the clear bhasna, number, you can note down, number 12 verse of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Now, now, I have already explained that because Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because he has got clear vision, and because he has full knowledge, he cannot give us misdirection. And what is given, that is perfect. So we have to believe that in future, even after liberation, now one thing we must also explain, the liberation, the conception of liberation. So there are different five kinds of liberation. One of them liberation is to become one with the Lord, one with the Supreme. That is called Sajujya Mukti. to merge into the existence of the Supreme. That is also another. That is one of the five liberations. That is not the only liberation. That means we are individual beings. We are individual constitutionally. God is the father or creator or whatever, or the source of our life or source of our existence, whatever you like, you can say. So we have been created in that. Eka Bahushyam. God has become many. This is also verse of the Vedas, that many, all these many, we are also God. Just like the fire that diffuses its spark. This spark coming out of the fire, it is they are also part and parcel of the fire. Similarly, we are all part and parcels of the Supreme. No? He wanted to become many. He wanted to become many. So he has become many, and we are that many. So we are not different from God. We are not different from God. But because he wanted to become many, so we have become many. Now thing is, when God wanted to become many, there must be some purpose behind this. Otherwise, why did he like to become many? He was one. One without second, that's our life. But why did he become many? So that is a question one must like to put, that why God became many? So that answer is that because God is Sachidananda Vigraha, he is all pleasure. Therefore, without many, there is no pleasure. Just like here, I sit down the whole day alone. But I become more active and more pleasing when you come. Whenever we want to enjoy some pleasure, pleasure is not enjoyed alone. Pleasure is enjoyed with many. Now, God is by nature, his anandamaya vyasa is always full of pleasure, full of blissness. Now, if he wants to become many, he is omnipotent, he can become many. Where is the objection there? He can manifest himself in various. Just now quoted a verse from Brahma Sanghita, Advaita Achyuta Anadi Anantarupam. Anantarupam means unlimited forms. Unlimited forms. Still, they are one. In spite of becoming unlimited, that one. Just like the sun, if you put here millions of pots, water pots, in every pot you will find the sun's reflection. But that millions of reflections, sun, does not mean the sun has lost his oneness. Sun is one. That is also a Vedic system, that we are a reflection like that. So anyway, many forms of God is from the desire of God. Now, out of this, because God has got some desire, transcendental desire, to enjoy with many. He enjoys with his own energy because he is all perfect. Just like if I want to enjoy life, I want a family, I want a wife, I want children, I want friends, I want servants. So I have to think before having a wife, you see. Because I am limited, so I think twice whether I am able to keep a wife, then whether I am able to maintain my children, these things are consideration. Actually, in the present society, every young man is thinking like that. You see, whenever the question of marrying is there, they think like that. But that thinking is due to our imperfectness, because we are not all powerful. Therefore we think like that. But when we give the qualification to God that He is all powerful, omnipotent, so He can maintain any number of children or any number of wives. Otherwise there is no meaning of omnipotence. So similarly, God has become many, and He has got a plan behind this thinking of many. Now, out of these many, if one wants to merge again into the existence of God, so God has no objection. God has no objection. Now, from God we have become many. Now, suppose I or you want that I don't want to keep myself as one of the many. I want to become one with you. If you like that is called sadhijya mukti. So God does not deny, all right, you merge into me. But that does not mean all other many is also merged into you. That's because individually I want to merge into the existence of God. That does not mean all other many, because many means not only I myself. There are millions and billions and trillions of many. So if out of that trillion, billion, one wants to merge into the existence of God, the God has the all-powerful, why he should deny? All right, you merge it. If you don't want to keep you all individually, see, if you want to merge into myself, all right, you are welcome. Jesathamang Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita, you'll find it. Anyone who wants me in any way, I fulfill his desire. So that oneness, merging into the existence of one, that is not a general rule. That is a specific instance only, that if anyone wants to merge into the existence of God, he can do that. God has no objection. But if others, that does not mean that everyone as a rule merge into the existence of God. No. There are others. Just like another example, you take it. Generally, this example is given that the rivers all flow into the sea and they become one. Or the drop of the ocean water when put into the ocean, the drop of the ocean water loses its existence, it becomes one with the. That's all right. Now, if you have seen the ocean, there are always millions and millions of drops coming out by the dashing of the waves, you see. That is going on continually. And some of them again falling into the water. They lose the drop existence. But that does not mean that the creation of drop is stopped. Even from that example. You see? And because the river water comes and merges into the sea water, that does not mean the river, all rivers have stopped. The rivers are there. But another example, now there are many aquatic animals within the water. They are also, now, as the drop of the water emerges from the sea water and again merges into the sea water. So, that is a nice example. But these fishes, these aquatic animals, they are also born in that water. Nobody has and given these aquatic animals from anywhere else. They have taken their birth from that water. They are also born of the water. Just like the drops of the water are also born of the water. Similarly, these living aquatic animals, they are also born of the water. Now, the drop of the water merges into the water and loses its existence. That does not mean there are other living entities within the water, millions and billions. They also lose their identity. They keep their identity. So, some of the living beings may merge into the existence of the God. That's called Sadhujyamiti. But there are many millions and millions and billions of Ananta. They want to keep their existence and enjoy the association of God. That is the difference between Jnani and Bhakta. The Jnani's ultimate aim is Nidhed Brahman Sandha. They want to become one with the Supreme. The Jnani does not want to keep himself separately from the Supreme. He wants him to be merged.
You mean Jnani Yogi?
Jnani, yes. Jnani. Jnani, not Yogi.
Jnani.
Jnani means philosophers, empiric philosophers. Empiric philosophers. You see? Brahma, Brahmavadi. Those who want to merge into the existence of Brahma, they are called Jnani. And those who meditate on God within himself, they are called yogis. This is general definition. And those who worship the Supreme as personality of Godhead, they are devotees.
Yeah,
so
back point, the name you say
Jnani
and
Bhakta. Jnani, Yogi and Bhakta.
Bhakta, the other one. Bhakta,
yes.
Like
Bhakta.
Nani, how do you
spell it? J-N-A-N-I. Jnani. The spelling is Jnani. So, the Supreme Truth is Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan. The Supreme Truth. Now, because we have already explained that each and every individual being has got his individual minute quantity of independence. God has given us. Now, by our independence, I may accept as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I may accept him, that the all-pervading super soul, and I may accept him that the all-pervading Brahma, impersonal Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence. So, all these things are applicable to the Absolute Truth. Now, it depends on my discretion whether I want to merge into the existence of the Lord, whether I want to keep my individuality and associate with him as friend, as father and mother, as wife, just like we have got relations. So that depends on my discretion. But now, comparatively, if we study that if we merge into the existence of God, at least in the opinion of the bhaktas, that is not acceptable. That is not accepted. They know that the God has created me as an individual being. So he has got some purpose. And because he has created me for some purpose, I must fulfill that purpose. Now, I can give you another crude example. From the mother, suppose a few children, a half a dozen children has come. Now, what is the intention of the mother or the father, same thing, who has taken the responsibility of the children, they want to be happy. Otherwise, why people are and taking so much trouble whole day for maintaining their children. There is some happiness. Nobody wants take so much trouble. But at home, because there is some happiness by seeing the children, by maintaining the children, but therefore he takes so much time. Now, at the same time, the children has also some troubles of life. Now, if one of the children requests the mother, "Mother, you have given birth to me, but I find my life very troublesome. Better you again put me in your belly." Is it a good proposal? It is not at all a good proposal. That is a disappointment. Oh, the mother says, "Oh, my dear son, you are in trouble, therefore you want to come again into my village. You want to merge into my existence again." Well, the mother is unable, she cannot do that. But if such kind of request is made to the Supreme Lord, he can accept that. For him it is not possible, impossible. All right, you want to merge into my existence, come on, I take it. But the thing is, whether the son who requests the mother or the father like that, he is same person. The same son, the intelligent son, will think, "Well, my father and mother, they have brought up me, they have begotten me, they have given us our life. All right, let us serve our parents, let them be happy, our activities, so that is the natural way. That is so because God has created us in so many individual living entities, we are all parts and parcels, just like father and son or mother and son, sons and are the parts of the body of the mother. We get this body from mother's body. That's a fact. Similarly, we will find in Bhagavad Gita also that this material nature is the mother and the Lord is the father. And the father is giving seed into the womb of the mother, and we have all come out from it. We have got this material body. Similar thing. Now, this point that to merge into the existence of the Supreme Lord, if it is proposed by some individual soul or individual living entity, that can be accepted by the Lord. Sajujya Mukti. That is not very difficult. But the thing is, whether we should think like that, whether it is good for us, that is my choice. If I want to merge, you follow me what I say, if I want to merge into the existence of God, just like if your son wants again to merge into your existence, because you are a human being, it is not possible for you, but it is not impossible for God. God can accept, all right, you want to merge unto me, all right, come on, I accept it. So that is not impossible. So that merging into the existence of God, there is a liberation like that, but that is not the ultimate. I want to see.
Then it is liberation from the individual.
Yes, but there are other individuals who may not agree with that kind of salvation or liberation. They want to keep their individuality and enjoy the Supreme Personality of Godhead company, just like Arjuna. In the fourth chapter, you will see that Arjuna, when Sri Krishna said to Arjuna that this system of yoga was first explained to the sun god, Now, Arjuna inquired, how is that? You are my contemporary. How you say that you advise or instructed this yoga system to sun? That means crores and crores, millions and billions of years before. How is that? There is a same question. Now, in that question, the Lord answered, my dear Arjuna, yourself and myself, we took birth many times, but you have forgotten. I have not forgotten. Now here, you see, that because Arjuna has taken up that transcendental bliss, that he wants to keep with the company with the Lord. So if anyone wants to keep company with the Lord, he is welcome. There are five different kinds of relation with God. Santa, Dasya, Shakya, Vatsala, I think I gave you one there.
Could you give me by name the five kind of liberation?
Yes.
In English?
Yes.
Emergence
means the merging into the existence. This is called sajujya mukti. Sajujya. Sajujya.
Yeah, but in English.
In English there is sajujya to become one.
Become one.
Yes. Sajujya mukti means liberation by becoming one with the Lord.
Okay. What is number two?
I left those. Yes.
Mukti.
Mukti means liberation. Mukti means, now we are in egoistic condition with this material body. Now mukti means when we shall be liberated from material existence and we shall get our spiritual life proper. That is called mukti. Just like a person is suffering from disease, fever. Now when he is out of fever is attacked, he is called mukta. Roga mukta. Roga mukta means he is free from the disease. Similarly, mukti means because we are now encumbered with this material body, as soon as we become free of this material conception of life, that is called mukti. That is called Brahma-bhuta. Brahma-bhuta. Generally, Dr. Mishra is teaching this, that what you think of yourself, what I am, I'm not this body. That is the whole process of this teaching. So, we have already discussed, and the same point is being discussed nicely in Bhagavad Gita, that we are not this body. Our material identification is wrong. So we have come to that point, come to that state, you see, that I am not this body. And because I am not this body, therefore, I have no connection with this world. Because my connection with this world is due to my body. It's due to my body. I consider one woman my wife because I have got bodily connection. I consider somebody my son because bodily connection. I consider this town, this country my country because my body has grown up from this land. So in this way, as soon as one becomes free from the conception of identification of this body, he becomes a liberated soul. Therefore, you find in Bhagavad Gita and the later chapters that as soon as one emerges out from this conception, he is prasannātmā. Oh, I have no responsibility. I have no responsibility. Brahma-bhūta prasannātmā na sojati na kāṅkhati. As soon as he is liberated, just like a man, free from the attack of fever or any disease, when he is recovered, he finds himself happy. Oh, now my disease is now gone. I'm happy. Similarly, as soon as we come to the spiritual understanding of our existence, then our life will be joyful. That is the sign. Whether a man is freed from this material existence, mukti, mukti can be achieved even in this life. Mukti. Mukti, it is a question of conviction. Now we are convinced fondly that I am this material body. And as soon as I gave you the other day that example of Socrates, he was convinced that I am not this body. So he was offered poison. He gladly took it. Well, what is that? I shall take it. Because you are, then he is Mukta Purush. He is liberated soul. Never mind. You want to kill me, kill me. I don't like all that. So this liberation, this is liberation. Now this liberation is divided into five. There are five concepts. One of the liberation is to merge into the existence. Our birth was from the Supreme Absolute. Now, after liberation, we merge into the existence of the Supreme. That is called Sajujya Mukti. Now, besides the Sajujya Mukti, there are other five Muktis which the Vaishnava Sampradaya or the devotees, the Lord's devotees, they accept. They practically, those who are pure devotees, they do not want any kind of mukti. They do not, even they are offered. They are simply after the service of the Lord. They are prepared to suffer any kind of suffering. They are not affected by all those sufferings. What they want, pure devotees, they want that I must serve the Supreme Lord. That is their mission. So anyway, these bhaktas are the devotees of the Lord. For them, there are other four kinds of mukti. And what is that? This is sajujya mukti, to become one with this. Now, then sarupa, sarupa mukti. Sarupa mukti means the spiritual body becomes as the features of the spiritual body becomes just like the Supreme Lord. Just like Narayan. Narayan has got four hands with Sankha Chakra Gada Padma and the lotus flower, corn cell, glove and wheel. So everyone who takes that sarupa mukti just becomes just like the his feature of the body becomes just like the Lord. You see? That is called sarupa mukti. S-A-R-U-P-Y-A. Sarupya. Yes, sarupya. This is called sarupa mukti. And
mukti or
mukti? Mukti, yes.
And three?
And three. There are two I have explained, sajujya and sarupa. Then salokya. Salokya. Salokya means one can get habitation, residence in the same planet where God is there. That is salokya. Next is sarsi. Sarsi, S-A-R-S-T-I, Sarsi. Sarsi means to get the same opulence. As I already explained, opulence. He gets all the opulences as the Lord has got. He becomes so, as good as Lord, becomes so powerful. You see, this is called Sarsi. And the last is Samipya. Samipya means he is always in the company of the Lord, just like Arjuna. Arjuna is always, whenever Lord takes his incarnation, Arjuna is there. Arjuna is there, Samipa. He is there, never separated. Just like a husband and wife, never separated. You see, or the father and the son. Of course, nowadays the question is different, but generally the family members, they all remain together, Samipa, and the father and the boys and the wife, they remain together. Samipa Mukti. Samipa Mukti means to remain always as associate of the Lord. That is Samipa Mukti. But these five kinds of muktis are there, and the purpose is that even after liberation, living entities, they keep their individuality. Just like as associate of the Lord, as resident of the Lord's planet, or to have the bodily features of the Lord in so many ways. And one can merge into the existence of the Lord. That is also accepted. So simply merging into the existence of God, that is not the only liberation. That is one of the liberations. But the devotees of the Lord, they do not accept such kind of. They do not want to merge. They want to enjoy the company. That is the difference between. Both of them have become liberated. Merging into the existence of God, that is also liberation. And to keep individuality and enjoy the company of the Lord, that is also liberation. Yes.
Therefore, may I say that the four last ones are what you call the demigods?
No, demigods, they are not liberated.
They are not liberated?
No. Demigods, they are just like delegated officers for maintaining this material existence. Just like sun. Sun is a demigod. Sun, the moon. Moon is a demigod.
What about the master is the Lord. Yeah, but there are different masters of higher degree that you were calling, you were mentioning before. There are some of different degrees who are working.
Yes, different degrees, that's like everyone is servant of the Lord.
Suppose, take
for example, the sun. The chief living entity, or the chief man, or chief living being in the sun planet. Now, his position and my position, there is a vast difference. He is maintaining such a planet, and he is situated there as the chief man or the chief living being. So his degree of power is far, far greater than the degree of power here, President Johnson or something else, you see. So that degree of power does not make him that he is God. He is not God. He is also servant of God. Anyone, even Brahma, anyone. There is a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ekola Ishar Krishna Arsa Vritta. The individual living entities, there are so many, multi. But all of them, they are servant of the Lord. Their position may be upper and lower in different degrees. But that does not make them equal with the Lord. The Lord is different. That is also mentioned in the Patanjali Yoga system. Lord is supreme. He is the great. He is the greatest. Asamanta. Nobody is equal with him, and nobody is greater than him. That means nobody is equal with him, nobody is greater than him, that everybody is lower than him. So, is that question sound?
Yes, you were using the other day very often, demigods
are just like you and me. Demigods just like you and me. But they have got a degree of power than me and you.
Now you just say
he's
the sun.
A sun, yes, he's also living.
Sun is a planet.
The sun is a planet, but there is a controlling deity also.
Yeah.
There is a control, just like here in this planet, when you go and up, you see it is a ball. But in this ball, there are so many controlling deities here also. President Johnson, Prime Minister of India, this and that and so many things. But when you go up, you see just like a ball. You see? So when you come here, you find, similarly, from the distance of 90 millions of miles, you can see and this sun just like a ball, but it is not ball. It is far, far greater than this planet. And there are cities and there are men and there are persons and everything. But they are made of a fire. Their body is made of fire. Your body is made of earth. That is the difference. Just like in the water, you cannot live because your body is made differently that you cannot live in the water. Similarly, the aquatics in the water, they cannot live in the land. Similarly, because I cannot live in the sun planet due to this my body, that does not mean there are no living beings. They are living beings. You see, after all, the whole material world is made of five elements. Earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Now, these five elements, in some planet, you will find earth predominant. In some planet, you will find water predominant. In some planet, you will find fire predominant. In some planet, you will find air predominant. But that does not mean that there are no living entities. There are living entities. The sun planet is a planet where fire is predominant. Now, according to medical science, that by heat and fire, the germs are killed. But in the fire also, they are living entities. Just like Dr. Mishra was giving the example the other day about opium. So opium is a dead poison. Dead poison. But in the opium also, you will find some worms.
Some what?
Worms.
Worms?
Yes. Worms. How it is possible? They are also living entities. If I take a drop of opium, I die. But they are living and they are eating and living there. So because it is impossible for me to eat opium and live, but you cannot say that there are other living, there cannot be no living entities there. Similarly, you have experienced that you cannot live in the fire. That does not mean that in the sun planet there is no living entity. There are living entities. Because in Bhagavad Gita you find that living soul as it is not burnt by fire. It is not burnt by fire because it is spiritual. The material element has no power to destroy it. It is not burned by fire. So in every planet, it is concluded that every planet, they are a living entity. They are intelligent beings. And because in the higher planet, there are more intelligent persons, beings, they are called demigods. The demigods means they have got practically qualifications almost equal to the Supreme Lord. They have got such qualifications.
And
divas.
Devas,
that is the Sanskrit word. And real deva means the Supreme Lord. And when you call devas, that these devas, they are all obedient servants of the Lord. They are very powerful. So when you become as obedient devotees of the Lord, we can get such force. In the sun planet, in the moon planet, in the heaven planet, in the Brahma planet. So the devotees of the Lord, they are not losers. They get more power for controlling power. Yes, therefore they are called devas. Devas. Devas means those who are the... there are two words used in Sanskrit. Devas and asuras. Asuras. Now, the definition of these devas and asuras are like this. Vishnu bhakto bhavet deva asurastha viparja. Asurastha viparja. Vishnu Bhakta, those who are devotees of the Lord, they are devas. This is the difference between devas. Devas, devas and asuras, let us mean that asura has got a very ugly face. No, even a very beautiful man, he can be an asura. He can be and even a very ugly man, he can be a deva. Just like Hanuman. Oh no, Hanuman was a beast. He was not even man. He was animal. He comes from the monkey species of life. But he is a great devotee of Lord Ramchandra. So he is deva. So Vishnu Bhakta Bhavet Deva. Those who are unallied devotees of the Lord, they are called devas. And those who are against the obedience of the Lord, they are called asuras. Anyone. It does not mean a human being or anyone. But in the higher planet, you will find all the inhabitants there that are called great devotees of the Lord. That's what they are called devas, demigods. And therefore, they have been entrusted with the management of this material world. Just like confidential persons are given responsible posts in government. Similarly, because they are devotees of the Lord, they have been awarded these posts to be sun god, to be moon god, to be Indra, heavenly god, to be Brahma, like that. So many, Marichi, so many, you see. Okay. Yes.
I've been working a lot with the vibrations of music. With music.
Oh yes, everything is there. So why do you think that only here in this planet everything is there and there is nothing? This is our foolishness. Just like you have never been to India. But I am giving an example. If you think that the Indians, they do not eat, they do not sleep, they do not marry, that is your madness. That is your madness. If you think that Indians do not eat, or Indians, because you have not seen them. But if as soon as you know, they are also human beings like us. Just like, as for my example, when I was in India, I was thinking of America, something wonderful.
So,
now, I see here, there is not at all any difference. The only difference is that you people are a fair complexion, your bodies are white and they are cotton. They are not so white, but there are white men also. In India, you will find and varieties of color. Beginning from this American European color down to the black Negro color. You find in India. There are so many colors. So, and actually I give you my frank admission that when I was in India, I was thinking the Americans may be a different type of people, or they may be thinking in other ways, they may be so many differences. But here I see there is no difference at all. No difference at all. Only some bodily features. Even I study the pigeons, I see, the same pigeons are here playing just like Indian pigeons. And when I see the sparrow, so there is no difference.
There is. Besides the sparrow, the other birds, there's a rule. Here in America, are bigger than the birds in Europe.
Yes.
The same kind
of bird. They're bigger here. Yes. I admit that. They're stout and strong.
Yeah.
Yes. See the squirrel, I saw the squirrel in the park.
Yeah.
Oh, they're also bigger.
They're bigger.
And that is also natural, you see. Just like in African people, they're taller. They are taller than the Aryan people. Even in, you say, your these black Negroes, they are taller than in American people. So there is little difference, of course, that is. But on the primary face, primary face, there is no difference. Similarly, in the sun planet, in the moon planet, there are also human beings like us. And they are called devas, because they are highly intellectual, they are all very powerful than ourselves, and they have got different bodies and different powers and everything. Otherwise, there is no question. Any great scientist like Dr. Meghna Shah in India, he said that there is no reason to this belief that in other planets there is no life. Huh? How can it? Just like because you have not seen India, you cannot say, oh, there is no living being. It is vacant. So these people are going to the moon planet and they are saying it is full of dust, it is full of clay or something like that. All this foolishness, you see. That means they are not real. They are outside they take some photo and they come out. Yes, they were.
And today on the radio they've seen a lot of flying saucers.
Yes, yes. Let them talk all nonsense. But we have got information that this moon planet is a very nice planet, you see. And the inhabitants there, they are very intelligent. And the people who perform past work here in this planet, they are promoted to the moon planet. And it is very cold also. Just like here, European countries and American countries, because due to you have come from America, European countries, people are accustomed to drink because due to the cold climate. Indians are not accustomed. But your drinking is a natural thing in Europe. Similarly, this moon planet is so cold that they live by drinking somaras. There is a kind of liquor which is called somaras. Yes? Somaras. Somaras. Somaras, here it is described in Ayurveda that somaras preparation is there. If anyone can prepare the somaras and if anyone can drink that somaras, he becomes immortal. But that means his duration of life increases. Mm-hmm. Increases. So anyway, these descriptions are there. So there are intelligent living beings there also.
What kind of body?
Your body may be different, just like your body is different from me.
Yes, but with
the head. That does not mean because you have got a different body, therefore you are not a living being. Or because I have got a different body from you, I am not a living being. So body, because a living soul is not the body. He might have different body. That doesn't matter. Why should we consider, identify with the body? The whole question is there. The body, you will find, and your body is different from animal body, animal is different from human body. There are so many differences of body. But the four principles of bodily, one, ahar means requiring some foodstuff, and nidra, sleeping, and fearing, and mating. These four principles you will find even in the birds, in the animals, in the human being, or even the devatas or gods, or everywhere you will find these four principles. The only difference between the animal and the higher developed consciousness living being is that they are God conscious. They accept the supreme law. That makes the difference between lower animals and us. I think I should stop here.